and glad to be here tonight. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 45, we'll be using that chapter as our main text this evening. In this chapter, we are going to see what reconciliation, what bringing together what was divided, what that looks like. And Joseph does a really good job of kind of teaching us what forgiveness looks like. And we're going to look at kind of forgiveness on both ends, receiving forgiveness and also giving forgiveness. So we'll look at both of those aspects that I say are really, really powerful as we see continuing this story of Joseph and his brothers. So just by way of review, Joseph has been testing his brothers as of recently to see if they have changed, if their heart has changed in the past 20 years. So Joseph's brothers, of course, were responsible for Joseph's challenging life in Egypt. His brothers were jealous of him being the favorite son of his father, and his brothers sold him to some slave traders that were heading to Egypt for 20 shekels of silver, and they took him, of course, away from his father, his younger brother, at the young age of 17. All these things kind of happened to Joseph all at once. Once he arrived in Egypt, he became a slave to Potiphar and had to deal with being a slave and also having to deal with Mrs. Potiphar. And then that didn't go well due to the lie that she created about him. And so he was sent to prison. And we don't know how many years he was in Potiphar's house and in prison, but it must have been several years in prison. We know at least two. So Joseph's brothers come, and he needs to know if they have changed once he's kind of being ruler over Egypt. So his first goal with his brothers is to get Benjamin to Egypt. So he sees 10 brothers, and he says, well, I got another brother, so I need him down here as well, and that would be his full-blood brother. And once he got all of his brothers together, he wanted to make sure, is there any change in your hearts? Because once Joseph was removed from the situation, who would now be the favorite? It would have been Benjamin, right? Rachel's other son. So is there any animosity, or the same animosity that they had with me, did they pass that on to Benjamin? He kind of stacked the deck, if you will, against Benjamin to see how his brothers would react. Remember, Benjamin came Joseph gives him five times the amount of food to see how that's going to react. And then once they were heading back to Jacob, Joseph set up a scenario where it looked like Benjamin stole his cup, and he would easily, the brothers could say, well, that's on him, and you do with him whatever you want. Our hands are free. Our hands are clean. And so he set that whole situation up. And then we remembered last time we were at the story, we looked at Judah, and he really became the kind of primary character in defending his brother Benjamin to Joseph. So Judah pleaded Joseph, proving that he has changed. He said things, very emotional speech. He said things like, you have to, if you keep Benjamin with you, our father is going to die. He said things like, I told my dad, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you forever. So the blame will go on me if I do not return Benjamin back. He also said to Joseph, let me stay. Let me stay as your slave and let Benjamin return. Well, this gets us to chapter 45 that was read for us. So I will not take the time to reread it, but I want you to look at that chapter as we go through this lesson together. And Judah, of course, remember, was the one that convinced his other brothers, I guess, let's see, his eight brothers. Reuben was absent, Joseph and Benjamin absent, I guess that's eight. His other brothers, that we should sell this brother of ours to Egypt. So he was instrumental in all of that. So verse 1, chapter 45, Joseph could just stand it no longer. And in verses 1 through 3, he reveals himself to his brothers. He cries out for everyone to leave the house, and Joseph weeps so loudly that those in Pharaoh's house could hear this weeping from Joseph. And then Joseph kind of lets out this secret that he's been hiding, and he just says three words, three very powerful words: I am Joseph. Wouldn't you have loved to see their faces when he revealed, I am Joseph? They believed Joseph was no longer. I remember when they kind of were telling Joseph for the first time, well, we have one brother, he's no longer. We have another brother, he's back home with Dad. Well, not only is Joseph alive, he is ruler over all of Egypt, whom they have been bowing down to three times over. And then he says, is my father still alive? Seems throughout this whole story with Joseph and his brothers in Egypt, he is concerned about two people primarily. And that would have been, of course, his father and his brother Benjamin. So Joseph, you can just see throughout the story, just longing to see his dad, wanting to know how he was doing. They're just silent. They don't know what to say, and if we were there, and if we were in this situation, we would be silent as well. We wouldn't know what in the world was going on. So in verses 4 to 15, Joseph is basically trying to convince his brothers, it's me. It's your brother Joseph. Verse 4, it's me, Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. But then verses 5 through 8, what Joseph does is he is now telling his brothers, this was God's plan, not your plan. Notice how many times in those verses, 5 through 8, Joseph mentions God. In verse 5, God sent me to preserve your life. Verse 6, there are still 5 more years of famine to go. And then verse 7, God sent me here to preserve your life, or preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive through a great deliverance. The first part of verse 8, you did not send me here, but God. And then God has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. So what Joseph does is he is basically telling his brothers, this was all a part of God's plan, and he relates that plan to them. Then verses 9 to 13, Joseph gives some instructions to them. And he says, basically, go tell Dad, I am ruler over all of Egypt, and tell him to get down here as quickly as he can. And you are going to live in Goshen, and that is the best place to live in all of Egypt. And I'm going to provide for you, and I will provide for your families, your little ones, your children. You have seen me. You have seen me with your own eyes. And now you know that it's me who's talking to you. Verse 13, you got to go get Dad. Go get Dad and bring him down here. And then look at verses 14 and 15. Joseph goes directly to who? Goes directly to Benjamin, his younger brother. And they just weep together. But what's amazing to me in this story is verse 15, where Joseph then weeps on all of his brothers and weeps on them. And then afterwards, after they have this crying fest, then they're able to talk. Then I can say the brothers' tongues are loosed and they start talking and conversing with one another. Well, Pharaoh finds out, and this is kind of verses 16 through the end. Pharaoh hears word, Joseph's brothers have come and they are in town. And so Pharaoh gives some orders to his brothers, says, load up and go to your father and bring him and your families back to Egypt. I'm going to give you the best of all the land of Egypt, and you will eat of the fat of the land. In other words, you're going to have the very best of this land. Take wagons to load up your little ones, your wives, and your father, and don't bring anything with you because the best of Egypt is all yours. And so what a generous Pharaoh, right, that we have. And you can just see his relationship with Joseph. It's just kind of, I'm going to bless Joseph in this way by getting his family back here in the best way possible. So verses 21 to 28, now the brothers have something to tell Dad that Dad is just never going to believe. And so they go back home. And Joseph, of course, provides in great abundance for his father. And the brothers are coming home. And can't you see Jacob when they see his sons come back along with wagons and along with all of this produce? Like, good, now what did you do in Egypt to get all this entourage back home? And so they make it to Jacob, and they tell him, Joseph is alive, and he has become ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob reacted much like they did. He is stunned, and the Bible says he did not believe them. Then notice there, verse 27, 28, Jacob's spirit becomes revived. He hears all the words that Joseph said. He looks around. He sees these wagons, and he puts, you know, two and two together. Well, it has to be true, or why else would all these wagons come here? And Jacob says, it is enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. I'm going to cover chapter 46 in 5 seconds. So Jacob and all his descendants moved to Egypt. Tonight, I want to focus primarily on the first 15 verses of chapter 45 for our takeaway this evening. In these verses, we see what true forgiveness looks like and what true forgiveness acts like. Maybe that'd be the best way to say it. Forgiving others, and we'll look at this first. And I've divided this section into two. How do we forgive others? Who had to do the forgiving? Certainly Joseph, right? Who else had to do some forgiving? It'd be Benjamin, right? And you could say Jacob. We're just going to focus on the brothers, though. We'll look at Benjamin and Joseph. Think with me about Benjamin's story, how he would deal with all this. Certainly, it was not Benjamin's plan to get rid of Joseph. And it is assumed in the story that he was just home with Dad, and Dad sent Joseph to go retrieve my brothers and see what they've been up to. Think about the consequences that Benjamin's brothers had on him by getting rid of Joseph. The brothers did not tell Benjamin what they did to his older brother. Or else, what was Benjamin going to do? Hey, Dad, guess what? Guess what these brothers did? They let Benjamin believe the lie that Joseph was torn by an animal. And here was this colorful coat stained with blood to prove it. Benjamin's older brother was taken away from him when he was very young. And it seems from this story, they may have had a very close relationship. Benjamin had to deal with a dad that was never the same after that incident when Joseph was gone. Notice, going back to that story in Genesis 37 and in verse 35, this is what it says. Then all his sons and his daughters arose to comfort him, speaking about Jacob. But Jacob refused to be comforted. And he said, surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning for my son. I'm going to go to the place of the dead in mourning. I'm never going to be happy again. And that sentiment is repeated in chapter 45, verse 27. When they told him, Joseph's alive, and he figured out, and he said, okay, that is true. Chapter 45, verse 27, it says, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. You imagine Benjamin having to deal with a dad that was once really happy. I have Joseph. Joseph was taken away. And then Jacob made the decision for himself, I'm not going to be happy again. That's the father that Benjamin grew up with. Why? Because of his brothers and what they did. Benjamin now learns Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, all the way down, you're responsible for these many years, these 20 plus years of all of that, losing a brother, having a forlorn Eeyore kind of dad. Have you ever suffered due to someone's sinful behavior towards another person that affected you? I've probably lost you in that. Let me see if I can make it a little bit easier. If I went and did something against Danny, who would be affected by that? Kathy, right? So have you ever been a Kathy? Have you ever been affected because someone treated another person you were close to sinfully? That's where Benjamin is. What he has to do is he has to forgive his brothers who didn't necessarily sin against him, but he was affected by their sin. We on the same page? That kind of makes some sense. The frustrating part of this is it's totally out of your control. That you suffer and you had no part of it, and yet you're affected by sin. It can be easy to play the blame game, right? It can be really easy to feel sorry for yourself if you're a Benjamin. It would be difficult for Benjamin to forgive his brothers. It would be really easy for Benjamin to hold a grudge and to always think about, this is what happened in my life because of what you did. There's a powerful lesson, because I think we've all been a Benjamin. But I tell you, we've also been those 10 brothers as well. When we sin against someone else, and I'm almost tempted to use the word always. I'll just go ahead and use it. It always affects someone else. It always affects someone else. If you verbally abuse your child, they end up believing they are worthless. And then that child gets married. And then their spouse has to deal with what happened when they were a child. That makes sense. I lose you on that one. If someone you love gets hit by a drunk driver, what do you have to do? You have to forgive that someone who did something to someone you loved. Many times, I believe we are a Benjamin, and we have to forgive a sin that is kind of indirectly affecting you. Other times, you're Joseph, where the situation where you must forgive someone who has sinned against you. So you think about, again, as we've kind of hit this story, think about Joseph's situation. Think about what Joseph had to forgive towards his brothers. I'm just going to read some passages to you that you're familiar with this story. Genesis 37, verse 4, his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. He has to forgive the fact that they never said anything good about him. They hated him, couldn't say anything nice. 37, verse 8 says, they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then the 28th verse of chapter 37, selling Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Joseph had to deal with all the consequences of this terrible sin that his brothers did against him. Joseph, fast forward, right, to chapter 45, and now Joseph is in total control over his brother's fate. He can do anything he wants to his brothers. Instead of getting back at them, what does Joseph do? Joseph forgives them. How did Joseph do that? How did Joseph forgive his brothers who treated him so terribly in the past? Notice again verses 5 through 8. One thing that I believe helped Joseph and will help us forgive others is he believed that God is in control of the situation. He tells them, you did not send me to Egypt. God sent me to Egypt. It was hard for Joseph to realize this at first, right? But once he did, once he figured out this was all a part of God's plan, that made this moment in chapter 45 a whole lot easier. He believed God had a role for him to fulfill. In these verses, you see Joseph saw his role to preserve as many people as possible, and especially his people, his family. That's why he says, I will protect, I will provide for you and your little ones. Joseph knew his role and made sure he fulfilled it, especially towards his family. Forgiveness is seen in action. In verse 10, he provided for his brothers and their families by giving the best of the land in Egypt. Joseph continued to provide for them for the next 5 years of famine. And then in verse 15, he kissed not only, for 14, he kissed Benjamin. Verse 15, the text says that he kissed all his brothers and wept on them. My picture is he just goes, whatever brother is nearest, He goes to him and he cries and hugs on him. And then next, he shows Judah, I've forgiven you. And then he goes to Levi and the Simeon. On down. It says he weeps on all of them. I think showing that forgiveness. Forgiving someone must come from the heart. Remember our lesson on Matthew chapter 18 about the parable of the king who forgave his servant of 10,000 talents, and that servant went and forgave one of his who owed a much, much, far less. The end of that parable, Jesus says, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brothers from your heart." God has forgiven us this massive debt that we owed him. And if we're not willing to forgive our brother, says, it's not going to be good for you. We must forgive our brothers and sisters, Jesus says, from the heart. And that's what we see here. James says, faith without works is dead. I think also forgiveness in word only is dead. We must forgive from the heart. We must forgive by action. But there are two parts to forgiveness. One, the one needing to forgive. And that's where we landed on Benjamin and Joseph. There's also the part of forgiveness of needing to receive forgiveness. And that's where the ten brothers come in. And they have a hard time receiving this forgiveness. And you can understand why. Because of all the things that they did to Joseph. And the Bible says they felt guilty for what they did to Joseph. Notice chapter 42 of Genesis. In verse 21. And this is where Joseph is being hard on them for the first time. And he believes y'all are spies. And notice what they say. "Truly, we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we wouldn't listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." They believed we are getting what we deserve by doing what we did to Joseph so many years ago. And then chapter 44, verse 16. "So Judah said, 'What can we say? What can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? And how can we justify ourselves?' Then he says this, 'God has found out the iniquity of your servants.'" What's he talking about? He's talking about what they did to Joseph. God has found us out, and we are guilty. They believed Joseph was dead, Genesis 42, verse 13. But to their disbelief, Joseph is alive, and he is the ruler over Egypt. Pharaoh wears the crown, you can say, but Joseph is the one in charge. Notice how he said it, "I am father to Pharaoh. I am ruler over Egypt." He's the one calling the shots. And of course, they feel Joseph's forgiveness and they hear his words. But if you go to chapter 50 of Genesis and look at verses 15 to 21. That's powerful. Why don't we go ahead and read that together? Chapter 50, starting in verse 15. "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him.' So they sent a message to Joseph saying, 'Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of your servants of the God of your father.' Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Notice, they feared. Once their dad died, now we're going to get it. It makes sense that he doesn't punish us as long as dad's alive, because that would frustrate our father. But now he can do whatever he wants, and they're scared. So they again, in verse 17 of that passage, they ask for Joseph's forgiveness. They fall down before him. Behold, we are your servants. When we have sinned against someone, you are at their mercy to forgive you. They have a choice. Now, certainly as a Christian, we are commanded to forgive one another. And Jesus gives us a parable showing if you don't forgive each other, how in the world do you think God is going to forgive you? Right? So we have, why wouldn't we forgive one another? Right? But they, not everyone is a Christian. And my guess, not everyone that you sin against is a Christian. And so they have a choice. Are they going to forgive you or not? Matthew chapter 6 in verses 14 and 15, after he gives the model prayer, Our Father in Heaven, and then he gives us a little summary or a little commentary on that prayer. And he only comments on one part of that prayer. It's about forgiving each other. He says, "For if you forgive others their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespass, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." If you refuse, if we refuse to forgive someone, who are we hurting? We all know the answer, right? We're hurting ourselves. Someone maybe described it as drinking poison and hope the other person dies. We're hurting ourselves if we refuse to forgive. If you refuse to forgive someone, God plainly says, I'm not going to forgive you of your sins. If you refuse to forgive someone, you want to hold their sin over them. It gives you the illusion, right, that I have something against you. I have something over you. And I want it to stay that way. I like it how you're down here and I'm up here. It's a prideful thing. Well, Joseph wanted them to believe they were clear of guilt. The first words Joseph spoke to them was, "Do not be grieved or angry with yourself." Isn't that helpful? Don't be grieved and don't be angry with who? Yourselves. Receiving forgiveness takes away guilt, grief, and anger directed at yourself. Sometimes it is hard to forgive yourself. And I love the spirit of Joseph in this story that we saw in chapter 45. We see again in chapter 50. His goal towards his brother was trying to convince them, I forgive you. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Because we need to recognize that it's difficult, it's hard sometimes for people to accept your forgiveness. And to realize, like Joseph did, don't be angry at yourself. This was all a part of the plan. This was all a part of God's craftsmanship of preserving many people alive as he did. God is amazing. He did this. Yes, you're guilty, but you're forgiven. Don't be angry at yourself. In closing, I want to think about the forgiveness that we have in God. As was alluded to, the people doing the stuff before me kind of preached my sermon before I got the chance to preach it. But I appreciate that. So the idea that we all have sinned against God, there is nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to earn God's forgiveness. We are not saved by works. We are not saved by doing so many good deeds. It is only because of God's grace that we are forgiven, and God desires to forgive us of our sins. Some of the best descriptions, I believe, in my opinion, some of the best descriptions of God's forgiving nature is found in the Old Testament prophets. So I want to close just by reading Hosea chapter 5. And you can read it with me. Hosea chapter 5. I got a new Bible, so I have to figure out where all the books are again. Hosea chapter 5. Start with me in verse 13. When Ephraim, talking about Israel, so when Israel saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king, but he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. So the idea is Israel was in trouble. So instead of asking for God to help them, they go to Assyria. Can you help us out? So verse 14, for I, God, I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress, earnestly seek me. What does God say? Because you're not asking for me to help you, because they've gone to a stupid nation to help you, I'm going to tear you apart. And then I'm just going to wait. And I hope that you will seek me in your distress, that you will earnestly seek me. Then look at chapter 6. Come. And this, I believe, is the appropriate response. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, that He may heal us. He has struck us down, and He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live before Him. Let us know Him. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Isn't that amazing? Hope you got what Hosea is teaching us. They went to Assyria and God punished them. And then they said, let's go before the Lord. And what does God do? God doesn't just say, all right, I forgive you. He opens up the showers and He just rains blessings on them. There are many passages that tell us God is eager to forgive us despite all the things that we have done to Him. May we look to Joseph. May we look ultimately to God, the perfect example, and forgive those who have sinned against us, as well as believing we are forgiven of our sins towards God and each other. Forgiving and receiving forgiveness, I believe, is one of the greatest blessings that we can receive and one of the greatest blessings that we can give. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation, we ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing.